Welcome back to the Broncast, the podcast all about the Ford Bronco. I'm your host, John Melton.
I'm Donnie Whiteman.
We are two Bronco enthusiasts who own Broncos, work on Broncos, and love talking about Broncos from Generation 1 through Generation 6. Our sponsor for this episode is Tom's Off-Road. Tom's Off-Road has every part you need to fully restore a Ford Bronco.
What are we talking about this episode?
Engine bays and, you know, tips and tricks for the early Bronco crowd.
Some parts, maybe.
Some parts, yep. Some good stuff. We'll mix in some parts corner with some DIY or PAY.
There you go. We haven't done that in a while.
I know. It's like a classic episode.
Classic Broncast.
What have you been working on in the shop recently?
I've moved on to where I'm at the trim level. So now we've finished the chassis, engine's coming together, transmission, driveline's already in, and we put the body on the chassis, and it looks amazing.
Yeah.
And now it's like headlight buckets and headlights, and we're building the grill, and then we'll mount the grill to the truck.
Nice.
And we're building the dash. You could probably see it right over there.
Yep.
And wiring the dash and putting all the cables and everything and trying not to scratch it.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do. And then we'll add that and the wiring harness to the truck. So we're doing firewall installation today.
That's super cool. We're kind of neck and neck, although I have not painted my Bronco. I'm mounted in the classic instruments gauge cluster.
Yeah.
Have that mounted in there and got that mocked up, got the vintage air in there. And, you know, I have the stock, I don't know what it is, 74 to 78 dash or 77 dash, whatever the years were for that one in particular. And it, you know, obviously doesn't have any AC vents, but I want to run the vintage air AC in it. So I was trying to mock it up and like figure out where to put the vents and figure out where to, you know, just do different stuff and run in the painless wiring harness. So I think what I'm going to do is scoot my glove box door down and cover the speaker hole or the speaker slots.
Yeah.
And then put two air louvers. What do you call them? Air vents.
Vents. Yeah.
On the sides there.
And the eyeballs.
Then, yeah. Eyeballs. And then one square double vent in the middle.
Oh.
And so I actually bought some. So the air unit comes with some, but
oh, you got
they're
the
kind of cheap
ones.
Plastic. I picked these up.
Oh, those are
from
fancy.
Restomod Air. They're like billet aluminum kind of thing. They're super nice. Still, I mean, still plastic on the back end, but that is kind of
gorgeous.
In. Yeah. So super nice. So next I'm going to actually mock these up behind the dash and get it all mocked up, then start chopping the dash.
These are, I saw you made a post on that where you marked where everything was going to go. That was really cool. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
That's a challenge. These are awesome.
Yeah. These are super cool. So I'm excited to throw those in there and kind of see how everything comes together.
Do you get your square middle vent too?
Yeah.
You know, that's going to balance out really nice with the two round things all the way out at the ends and then the one in the middle. Oh yeah. That is, it looks billet. That is super cool. And these do the eyeball things too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And it looks, I mean, it looks vintage. It still looks, you know, I think when it's sitting in there, it's not going to feel like, I didn't want something that felt not period correct, I guess. What I liked about this is it still looks like, oh yeah, that's totally something that could have been in a, you know, in a classic car.
That's going to look so much better than having them hang below the dash.
That's what I didn't like.
Just because you're banging your legs on that stuff.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So excited. Excited to put that.
So you're going to make a full custom dashboard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Neat.
Oh, Super Celebration.
Oh, I know. Coming up.
Coming up.
It's like weeks away.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, maybe it's a little more than a month, but still.
Yeah.
We wait all
right,
year for this.
Right out of month.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah. It's so exciting. Again, Tom's Off-Road, our sponsor, is doing free freight. So if you order something in the month of March, then you can have it shipped to Super Celebration for free on your dime. Tom's is paying for it. Super cool deal that they have going on. And get your new seats.
So everybody I've talked to that's going to Supercell, I'm like, well, which truck are you taking? They're like, well, I was going to take them all. You know, like Mark's said, I told him today, I said, you've said you're taking like four trucks. How is one person going to take? And then Spencer's like, oh, I'm taking all five. I'm like, you're going to make like multiple trips? He goes, yeah. It's just like you go and you don't want to just bring one, but right. I think Jimmy Golden brings one every year.
Yeah.
Like something that somebody hasn't seen. So I haven't asked Jimmy what he's bringing this year. And I'm going to try and take three.
Are you really?
Yeah. I need a volunteer to drive the red, the Sasquatch, but
I mean, that's true. I think I should take two. Super Celebration. If you aren't signed up yet, broncodriver.com, I think it is.
Yeah.
Go to their events and you can sign up. And then also tomsoffroad.com, get your free freight to Supercell.
And there's a huge swap meet there too. Someone asked me the other day, Michael did, he goes, hey, how much is a tent, or if you want to bring a trailer full of parts? And I said, well, I don't really know, but I found out you can go to Bronco Driver Magazine online and register for the swap meet. And
oh, cool.
Maybe it was $125 or something.
Just sell all your parts.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys, you know, they bought stuff they're not going to use, or they've picked a better chassis or a better roof or whatever. So you can find half cab roofs. You can find all kinds of stuff at Supercell.
Yeah, yeah. Go with a list of things that you want to buy, because there's so much for sale.
And a bunch of money.
Yeah, a bunch of cash. Yep. Well, we're going to talk about engine bay dress up on the early Bronco. You know, a lot of times you see these nice trucks, and we were looking at one the other day, and it was like, looked great on the outside, you know, looked great even on the inside. And then you pop the hood and it just looks like an explosion happened, you know? And it's like, what is happening in here?
Like Daddy Daycare.
Yeah. It's just like wires are everywhere. Hoses are everywhere. Yeah. Like, you know, and I think that's a huge part of just feeling more confident on working on your Bronco, is having the engine bay like in a place where you know where the stuff is. It's clean, it's tidy. Like, I popped one guy's hood and it was like, what are these wires? And he's like, I don't know. You know, and it's like, well, how do you even work on this thing? You know, like, how do you, you know, it's like, I know mine are actually not cleaned up right now because I was doing some stuff to it, but like, I know where my wires are. I know what they are. I know what goes where, you know, and like, I try to keep it nice and clean and like try to know where stuff is, you know, and if everything's just chaos in there, you're not ever going to want to pop the hood and work on it.
The first thing I do is I just start pulling wires out. It's like, alarm, don't need that. Yeah. Motion sensor, don't need that. It's like, you know, and then there'll be the original harness, parts of a new harness, and I just take everything out. Yep. And it's like, all right, let's start over.
Yeah.
And so one of my favorite things is a wire loom kit from Painless Wiring.
Yes.
And at least everything can be in one strip across the front of the firewall.
Yeah.
And that really helps.
It really does. I mean, it just cleans it up. It makes it look so nice. And if you have wires that are draped over your engine, like, you need to fix that, you know, like you need to make that wire longer, make it go through the loom on the firewall and through the loom over the, you know, inner fenders, like, make it look nice, make it look presentable. Yeah. That, I think that's a great one.
Well, you know, you start at the battery, because there'll be like three or four hot wires.
Yes.
All wired into the terminal. And going, you're like, where does this go? And you chase it and it'll be a dead end.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you'll have two or three that were going to like the fuel pump. And
right.
I like that some of the wire kits, and they come with like, or if you order like a Holley system, it comes with a blue wire, the full length of the truck. And it's like, okay, fuel's blue.
Yep.
Take all the other wires out that went back to the fuel pumps.
Exactly.
And get them out.
Exactly. Along with wiring, I like to do spark plugs. One, if you're doing EFI, you need a really good set of spark plugs that aren't going to interfere with the your EFI computer. Like, that's a huge issue, because Ford 302s put the stinking distributor right in the front. So you pop the hood and it's like, you're looking at this big old ugly distributor with all these wires coming out of it, you know? And so I think getting a good set of spark plug wires that look nice, that either match your truck or, you know, like, just clean it up a little bit, and then have them routed in a way that is somewhat presentable. Like mine aren't, you know, perfectly in line or anything like that, but at least it doesn't feel like they're just like, blah, you know, like all over the place. I'd say spark plug wires are the first.
I like to use a small original looking 302 distributor with a black cap, nothing flashy, you know, I was told last week that I needed to put this HEI, this giant distributor that has a coil on top. And I'm like, this thing's huge. And I was trying to talk the customer out of it, but he had already bought it. And I said, it's ugly. And I said, you know, it looks like a giant pimple on the engine. And I think he got a little upset with me. And then I put it on and the hood wouldn't close.
Oh, geez.
And I'm just like, doesn't work.
Yep.
You know, sorry. It's like, sorry. So I ordered a Pertronix flamethrower.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it looks original. It's got a little tiny decal.
Yep.
And it's black.
Well, what else you got on your list?
Well, probably start with leaks, you know, like if you want to clean up leaks around the bay, I do this on all engines. When I was younger, I would only do the top. Like you open the hood, it's like, wow, that looks great. And then you look underneath and it's, it's a soggy mess.
Guilty.
It's like, I didn't fix the oil pan leak, but the top looks great. So now I do the whole thing. So, but one of my favorite things to do is on a 302 specifically is get the water pump off. Replace the timing cover because they just leak so bad there. Leaks all over all your suspension and your cross member. I start there. Let's just make sure there's no coolant leaks. And then I use DupliColor.
Nice.
I got my spray can right here. Has three shades of like blue Ford engine paint. There's like old blue, which kind of has like a dark, almost green. It's like a 1930s color. And then there's two shades of Ford. And I was talking to Jimmy Gold, and I go, well, which one's right? And he goes, well, it depends on the year. So I pick the blue based on what the color of the truck looks like. And do I want the engine to pop? Like on a white truck, I go with the lighter blue.
Yeah.
So, and then I paint the timing cover, the water pump. I paint the harmonic balancer. And then I'll go back and I'll wipe off the timing marks.
Yeah.
So they're silver so I can see them when it's time to time the engine.
Yeah. That's super cool. Yeah. That's a great idea. I haven't thought about, just going through and painting everything. Like, mine has the rust, you know, like I've cleaned all that stuff up, but it just looks, you know, like rusty and kind of corroded now. You know,
it'll take you the better part of a weekend, but then if it leaks, you'll see right where it's leaking. And for me, that's the most important part because you'll put brand new stuff on, it'll leaks. And now I know which gaskets to use and which ones to not use. But like if you're using an aluminum intake versus a cast iron intake, you want to use different gaskets for that intake. I've got a bunch of engine parts. So what's up next on your list?
Next on my list, I have the radiator hose. I mean, like hoses in general. I mean, Tom sells a kit and it's silicone radiator hose, silicone hoses, silicone heater hose. I don't know if you've like messed with that, but it's almost like a shiny black. And so it's super easy to wipe down. Like I feel like your normal radiator hose, it's hard to make it look clean. And I love the Tom stuff because it looks clean really easily. And it just, I don't know, just having clean, organized hoses and heater hoses and radiator hoses. Like, again, when you pop that hood, you've got this big radiator hose coming from your radiator, going to your water pump, and it's in the way. And so if you can make it look nice and clean, then it just really cleans up your engine.
So I'm going to go back to engine. And for me, like, here's a part that I painted, and I got this from Tom's Off-Road.
Oh, really?
Every water pump for any 302, 351, you know, whether you have like reverse cooling or regular cooling, it just means which direction this hose is tied into the water pump. So if you're doing a serpentine kit, it'll literally be on the other side.
Oh, okay.
And the hose goes into the radiator. So if you're doing like a serpentine kit, like I think the Explorer drive kit, where you get, you know, a nice wide belt, you need to get the right water pump. But look how nice it looks when you paint it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can see I also have the ARP engine dress-up bolt kit on this. And when you see these bolts, they're polished stainless steel.
Yeah.
And when you see those on the intake on the front of the water pump, they look like $1 million. So
it really does. Yeah, really. It is a nice amount of bling, you know, like it's not, and yeah, that's really nice.
It's way blingy.
Yeah. You know, it's not like you chromed your water pump. Like, you know, I feel like that's too much bling. Like, well, I feel like having those, you know, polished heads is a really nice bling to the blue water pump and that. Yeah. So that's nice.
I mean, you can use, like, the other option is to use the regular bolts and just paint them blue with it. But for me, you're building a really nice truck. You want to show some high-end products on your thing. ARP is pretty high-end.
How much, how many wrenches would you say changing your water pump is?
Well, you have to take all your hoses off. Drain your coolant first, of course. It's actually super easy. It comes with a gasket.
Yeah.
Most of the work involved is in cleaning the surface so that when you put it back together and you use a little RTV and the gasket, whether it's Felpro or whatever it comes with, and it won't leak. And then you don't have to worry about cooling issues. And if you use new hoses, you know, the only thing left is the radiator. So
yeah,
I would rate that like on a scale of 1 to 5. Geez, maybe a 2.
I would say the hardest part about that process is probably draining your radiator and pulling it out. Like I think that's a daunting task for a lot of people, but yeah, I'd agree. It's probably a 2 wrench job for sure.
I think if you're going to drive your Bronco any distance, you should go ahead and pull that stuff off and check it because you don't want to overheat your engine for one, but you also don't want to break down. So, you know, it for me, that's up there with checking your brakes. Like, then you can comfortably go drive it 3 hours to Supercell or whatever you want to do. Yeah. Not worry about your cooling system.
Well, my next one is also a part. It's valve covers. And I have the Bronco finned valve covers. Like, they're black and they have the fins on them and the Bronco script.
Oh, yeah. The cast aluminum.
Yeah. And I really like those. I think they look great. You could just get so many different kinds of valve covers, and it really cleans up your engine bay when you're looking at it and, you know, not having these rusty. I had the rusty blue ones, like, you know, and they had chunks of just rust on it, you know, and it was just like
paint coming off.
It just looked trashy. So that was a really nice upgrade. And I would say that's a one wrench job, like half a wrench, you know. It's remove the valve cover bolts and pull it up. You know, there's nothing else that you have to replace.
The hardest part of that job is cleaning all the gasket material off. I took some off of, what'd we call it? Cupcake, the Bronco that was in here. It had 3 layers of gaskets in there that had been baked on over years. And it could have been, you know, a 20-minute job, but I ended up having to clean all that off. And he had the nice aluminum covers too. So I wanted to reuse those, but you can keep all that oil from leaking all over your engine if you do a $17 set of gaskets while you're doing the valve covers.
Yeah. And the valve covers, I mean, they're $200. Tom's has them. Tom's has a bunch of different ones. But those ones that I have are $200. I think that's money well spent.
So we're looking at the engine bay and the engine looks great now. Wires are cleaned up. Hoses look great. We're not leaking. And the engine's somewhat blue. I have like painted the top of an engine and the front of the engine only because that's all the work they wanted done. But I'm like, hey, you're going to know where I was in your engine, and you're going to see where I wasn't, you know, because it'll be black and greasy. So for me, I like exhaust manifolds.
Oh, yeah.
How about you?
I'm a header guy.
You're like, straight up headers?
Yep. Ceramic shorty headers. I want to put a set on my green truck. So I have the stainless long tube headers right now, which I think provides a cool sound, but I definitely don't need long tube headers on that. I mean, 167 horsepower. I just love the look of headers coming out, and I like the polished ceramic coated ones because they look like stainless, but it's polished ceramic, so it's not going to change colors. Mine, you know, are kind of purple and green and gold, and, you know, I mean, it kind of looks cool, but yeah, it's like, it's multicolored now.
Yeah, the stainless steel ones turn all different colors, you know, it can be cool. So for me, I'm a straight up exhaust manifold, like Ford looking product. And I know it sounds like we're plugging Tom's every product looking at, but Tom's is the only one that makes these.
Yes.
And they're reproduction cast iron.
They're making it. It's not like a used part that they cleaned up. Like, no, this is cast,
and it says TBP on it, and it's got a part number. Now, normally, if you look at your exhaust manifolds on your truck, they don't look like this. They look like this right here. They look lovely. Yeah. This is what your exhaust manifolds look like. But what I did, so they don't look like this, I just wire brushed them down, degreased them, and then I painted them with POR 15 has a 1200 degree sealer.
No way.
I guess it's a sealer.
Like a 1200 degree paint.
Yeah, but it's not paint. It actually like soaks into, it's a coating. Really? That's the word I'm looking for. Okay. And it comes in a black. It comes in this dark gray, which looks just like cast iron when it's brand new. It'll look like this for a very long time. And then I did, so they have black. They have this beautiful dark gray that looks like cast iron. And they have silver, which I know, this is a little too blingy for me.
A little too much.
So what I did was, this is kind of fun. I took the silver and I took the gray and I made something in between.
Oh, that's nice.
And that turned out really cool. I just mixed the two. Yeah. So, but yeah, I absolutely love this product. I've done like four engines with it so far. And I also am doing the brake reservoirs. You know how those things rust?
Oh my gosh.
If you got the cast iron ones. So now my brake reservoirs and my manifolds will look like this for a couple of years or maybe longer. I don't know.
How scratch resistant is it? Do you know? Have you
scratch
like,
it?
Oh, I mean, just so like I put a similar product. I put Steel It on on my front hubs, but taking the tire on and off, it always scratches it. And so every spot that it scratched my hubs has now rusted through.
Here you go. Hang on to that. And
apparently if you need a...
scratch it with that bolt and see what happens.
If you need a manifold, definitely come to Donnie's shop. He's got quite the manifolds.
Yeah, it's not even coming off at all, is it?
A little bit, but I mean, I bet that would hold up way better than the stuff.
So Steel It is a stainless steel microflake product that is designed that you can weld through. It has microflakes. You can so I'm gonna actually, when I restore my frame, I'm gonna paint it with a similar product, but it's got zinc particles instead of stainless steel microflakes, and you can literally weld right over the paint.
Wow.
Because it's mostly metallic. Wow. Yeah.
So some pretty good engine bay dress up tips, advice, products from a couple of guys who have very dirty engine bays on all their classic Broncos.
Bronco nerds.
Yeah. What are you guys thinking for your engine bay? What have you used? What are the things that you think that everyone should know when they're cleaning up their engine bay? Leave it in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. But I think next we're going to do head over to the shop, do a little early Bronco tips and tricks.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
All right, so we're in the shop and just wanted to talk about a few tips and tricks for the early Bronco. Some of these are silly. Some of them are very genuine and will be helpful for you. But come on back. Let's take a look. Tip number one. Have you ever wanted to drive your Bronco down the road with the tailgate down? Well, technically, it would be illegal for you to drive down the road with your tailgate down because if a highway patrol came up behind you, they couldn't see what your license plate was. They couldn't see if you were legal or not. Well, never fear. In 1966, Ford came out with a tremendous idea of flipping your license plate holder up so that when your tailgate was down, you could actually still see your license plate. But you never knew that.
So my tip is how to get heat in your Bronco if you don't have heat. One of the things is there is a
valve basically in line in the hoses that lets the hot coolant come into the truck, and then it exchanges the heat and sends it, blows it out the fan. But the pull temp button right here, you just pull open and close, it opens and closes a valve that allows the hot water to come into the dash to be transferred into heat. So this is the heat hose I was talking about that goes from the radiator into the firewall, and this valve opens and closes. It's not even connected right here to the lever. So this thing is probably frozen up and not working. So this is pretty common.
Now, tip number three is your high beam. So back in the 1960s, the switches for high beams were so big because, you know, voltage and all like electricity was, you know, still being figured out. So they couldn't fit the high beam switch on the dash. They couldn't fit it on the steering wheel or on the column like we have today. I mean, today our switches are so small that you could put it anywhere. But back in the day, it was too big. So what they did was that they actually put the switch on the floor right behind the emergency brake cable. So when you wanted your high beams and you're driving down the road, you just push the little lever with your foot while you're driving and your high beams came on. You push it again, your high beams turned off. And that was a good place for such a big switch.
My tip is going to be talking about the door gaps on a Bronco. This is such a big deal on early Broncos because, well, for starters, the door gaps weren't real consistent, even brand new in 66 and 77. So one way to solve the door gap problem or inconsistent gaps is to use these spacers. I get these by the pack from Jeff's Bronco Graveyard, and I use them, an example, right here to open this gap up so it's the same as the bottom. Now on this side, the bottom gap's too big, so I'll probably have to do some work on this pillar to close the gap.
So back in 1960s, you know, it was a different time. It was a different era. And my final tip for the day is how you would go hunting in your Bronco, for example, without having to shoot out your windshield. Well, the Ford marketers, surprisingly enough, that was one of the benefits to the Ford Bronco, was the fact that the windshield could actually fold down so that you were able to take your gun and, you know, go hunting in your Bronco. Now, obviously, we know that the Bronco, when it came out, it was a part of a, it was more of a military vehicle. It came after the Jeep, the GP. And so there was a lot of that functionality that Ford was doing with the GP that it carried over to the Bronco. But it's just such an interesting feature that the fold-down windshield. Now, a lot of people will say the real reason that it was a fold-down windshield was so that it could actually be loaded and into like a crate, and it could be a smaller crate that would come down. That is true as well, but it is one of those marketing things that Ford had where it was like, hey, you could go hunting with your Bronco and you see him actually fold down the windshield and shoot a gun out the front of their Bronco. So pretty cool little tip, trick, being able to fold down your windshield. The windshield actually came with a latch until 1968. And then the 1969 and later Broncos never had the latch.
My last tip for the day is how to eliminate the gas smell. All Broncos seem to leak everything. Gas is one of the things that they leak. So my suggestion is just buy new fuel line. You need low pressure line if you don't have EFI. If you're running EFI, you need the high pressure fuel line. I like to use the Earl's Plumbing 300 PSI line if you have a gas leak.